Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I was reading this morning, and I just love this song. And I was telling Steve, I said, man, we got to play this one next week. Is that okay? Will we do this next week? Oh, because I feel God is talking to me. You can be seated if you'd like, if you can. I feel God talking to me about the blood of His Son. Can you say amen to that? How many know the Bible says that the life is in the blood? Can you say amen to that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I just want to read you something. I was reading this morning, and I feel God preparing me for this message for next week. But who knows? Can you say amen? Maybe He might have something else. But this is what He's got. This, I just want you to hear this morning. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while a testator lives. How many know Jesus died? And then he was rose. He was raised again from the dead. Amen. So I love this. So the testament went into full force. Look at your neighbor. Say full force.
Full force.
Full force. It went into force. Full force when Jesus died. Praise God. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. When Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats and water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined us to." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle, and I love this part, it says all the vessels of the ministry. See, everything was sprinkled with blood, everything. And the writer of Hebrews is talking about this blood, the blood that God has enjoined us into. Is that okay? He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Can I just tell you, you are all vessels of the ministry. And He sprinkled every one of you with the blood of the Lamb. Can you say amen to that? Amen. He says, and saints in all and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And I would say to you that God has shed His blood for you. Can you say amen? What Jesus did, Jesus shed His blood for you. Therefore, making you the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Look at your neighbor, say, I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost, bought by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, it's not my turn to preach. Woo! Oh, come on, man. I just remembered that. I'm not, I had kind of, where am I? Come on, thing, man. Praise God, man. I thank Jesus for what He's done for me. I thank Jesus for what He's done for you. For you are all, listen, we say it every Sunday morning, we are all ministers. Can you say amen to that? We say that when we pray in the morning, we'll say, you're all ministers. Go out and minister to the people of God in this house today. We are all ministers. He sprinkled all the vessels of the ministry. So that's all of us. Can you say amen to that? That is a wonderful place. I just want to take a little bit of time just to thank all of you. While Rosie and I were gone, we had Nick, Rick, and Terry. There you go. Nick, Rick, and Terry. Sorry, Terry. Where you at, bro? There you are. Yeah. These guys took over the men's breakfast for us, and I hear they did a wonderful job. Just give them a hand. Thank you. Thank you guys, man, for doing that, for taking that upon you, man. I called up Terry. Hey, guess what? You get to be the guy for the men's breakfast. What? Yeah. It's so good to know when Rosie and I leave, or Pastor John is gone also, it's so good to know that we have folks that will take up and continue on. Can you say amen to that? Because you, who knows how long I'll be here? Can you say amen? Does anybody know how long I'll be here? Probably a lot, hopefully a lot shorter than you think. I know, I'm just kidding. No, but I'll tell you what. I thank God for the people of God because they are the ministry of the blood of the Lamb is within all of you. And I thank God for that. Can you say amen? Amen. Who'd be next? Anybody else want to say anything before you? Feel like God has placed something on your heart?
This just has to do with the Gideons. The other day I was cleaning out my glove compartment and it was a disaster. And I finally encountered a Gideon's Bible that I had put in there that I received from a Gideon's person from work one day. And it's always a blessing when I'm at work and I'm seeing all these people and people come up to me sometimes and give me a verse from the Bible or a little card or a Bible or something. And I looked at the Bible and I was like, I'm not really sure who these people are. Is it valid? You know, like different Bibles are different, or I grew up Catholic, so I'm not really sure. And I was kind of timid when I received the pamphlet this morning when I came in, but I was just like, I'll just take it. But getting back to the glove compartment, I looked at the Bible. I'm like, I might need this someday. So I put it back in the glove compartment instead of like stashing it away in my house somewhere. And I just wanted to say that I was, something just told me to keep it and I might need it, or maybe it's a blessing to have in the car.
Amen. And it is. I'm real quick, Abe. I'm almost done. When I was working, I kept a little bitty Gideon's Bible in my pocket, my back pocket. It ended up being about that wide because it got wet a lot. But I will tell you, I would spend time in while working because I got a chance to do a little bit of being by myself time because I was doing certain things. And so, man, I'd pull that thing out and I'd read it and I'd mark it and everything. I love that little Bible. It was orange. It was orange in color and it was my companion. It was my partner in the jobs I was doing. And I praise God for the Gideons. I really do. These guys are really, they don't stop. Can you say amen to that? Aren't you glad there's a group out there that do not stop? They continue to push for the gospel of Christ, not only on the earth, but in the United States. Aren't you glad there's people like that? Come on. Hallelujah. We should all be like that. Can you say, man, come on, man. Yeah. Hallelujah. Connie, you got something. Come on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take up all of Abe's time you need. Yeah, come on.
I ordered Wendy's book. I don't know. Our poet that's here in our church. It's wonderful. I've read the whole thing, and I encourage each of you to order it for yourselves. I'm going to get some for my sons and my daughter-in-laws. And anyway, it's an excellent book. You can get it on Amazon.com. Through the Desert with My Savior.
Okay. Yeah, well, good morning. Let's see here. Okay. So it's a good thing you're here, though, because we're going to talk about the Bible today. Right? Yeah? Yeah. No. First thing, you're not really going to understand this unless you're a believer. Does everybody here believe in Jesus and what he did for us? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Hey, Pastor, I don't know if you saw all the hands that were down, but we need to talk to them right now. Yeah. We'll do this like at youth convention. They just take them to another room. It's like, hey, you want to accept Christ? And they're like, yeah, sure. So like, recognize this? Yeah, or this right here. This is actually 40 years old, I think. Yeah. It says here, my aunt, she was graduating from high school, and I was there. I was 6 years old, and I was upset I didn't get one, right? Because I didn't see it, and I was like, "What is that? I want one!" And so she wrote, "Presented to AB Enix with all my love, Aunt Patty, June 13th, 1986." So, you know, I actually use this quite a bit. Growing up, and I really like this thing here. It's like, where to find help? Teachings about some of life's problems, right? And I really did use this quite a bit growing up. Because I knew, I was like, I can go to the Bible, and then it also tells me where in the Bible I can look. And like on the back here, because like I said, it's very important that you're actually a believer. Otherwise, you're just going to think, what is this guy talking about? Right? I mean, it says back here that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9, right? So I do appreciate you and what you do. Yes. So, 40 years old, crazy. Yeah. All right. So, if you would, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I just ask that today, when we read these scriptures, even if it's been read before by us, that God, that we find something new in it, that we understand the value and what it is you're trying to show us and teach us, Lord, that it changes our hearts, that it helps us to become closer to you, and then also to carry out your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So, I mean, we are going to talk about the Bible. That's like, if I was asking youth group, it was like, what do you think we're going to talk about today? Just like youth group answers only. It's like the Bible, Jesus, God. So we're going to talk about all that, right? But one thing I think we really need to focus on today is the Word. And you'll see why I was talking about, like, you need to be a believer in order to understand what I'm telling you today. This is 1 Corinthians. I want to go to is chapter 2. And verses 1 through 16. And it says, and this is a letter from Paul. And he says, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. So the thing is like, in order to understand what I'm going to tell you today, you do need to be a believer. Because when you believe in Jesus, he gives you a gift, and that's the Holy Spirit. And then one thing Paul recognized here was that he didn't need to like make some crazy argument, right? He didn't have to really think it out. All he needed to do is tell them about Jesus and him crucified. And that should be powerful enough on its own. And it says, I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. So, if you know who Paul was, he was a Pharisee before, right? Yeah. And not only was he a Pharisee, but he also had a like understanding of Greek rhetoric. And it's a structured art of persuasion through speech and argument. Okay, so he knew how to argue his point. But he abandoned that in order to speak plainly to people. And he recognized that who can speak better than him? God, the Holy Spirit speaking through him. And it's something we should recognize, and it's something we should do on a daily basis as well. It's not just for times where you have to like, I'm preaching, so I'm going to make sure the Holy Spirit is speaking through me. It's like, no, at all times you can say something to somebody that can be life-changing to them. At all times you can say something that's encouraging. At all times you can say something that's loving. And you can really do so much better if instead you get out of the way and you let God speak through you.
Amen.
And it said, I did this so you would trust not on human wisdom, but in the power of God. Because you see, there was a problem in Corinth where people were saying that it's like, well, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow this person, I follow that person. It isn't the teacher you should be following, it's always Jesus, right? That's once again why it goes back to the Holy Spirit and needing the Holy Spirit, because you should be able to listen to God speaking to you and saying whether something is true or not. But that only comes by you studying it for yourself, not just taking people's word for it. It doesn't matter if it's a trusted teacher or not. You should always go back to the word and see if what is being told is true. So, yet, when I'm among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. The wisdom of the world, a lot of that, you know, would tell you that you need authority, right? You need power. You can get that through government. You can get that through money. And that's the way you're going to change everything. And it's not. You know, because I mean, one thing is like, I will say voting is very important. I love our country. I think it's the best country on the planet. But I'm not going to fool myself and believe that if the government goes a certain way, that it's going to change the hearts of people. Because the thing is like, who's in power changes all the time. Okay. But if you change people's hearts, that's what's going to make a lasting impact. Okay. Not only in the country, but like it could make a difference for somebody eternally. That they get to see paradise too. That they get to be with God as well. That they get to live a rich and satisfying life. So godly wisdom will tell us something else. It says, no, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. You know, it wasn't a surprise to him when what happened in the garden happened. He knew it happened. There's a lot of questions as to why would God just let all this stuff happen, evil, things like that. And ultimately, I think it's this thing where it's like, if he didn't give us the power of choice, we wouldn't be able to freely love. I mean, think about like if there's this guy used to go here, but he moved, Hank, and he gave this really good example when he'd see his grandkids. They tell him, is like, you know, hey, go hug your grandpa, right? And they'd go and hug him, and he'd be like, okay, yeah, that's nice. But like when they would like run in and hug him without being prompted, he felt that more, right? Because that's truly love, right? I think the same thing is why we have the ability to make choices, whether they're right or wrong. I mean, I don't know if it says somewhere in scripture, but I mean, that's the way I see it. Cause I mean, love is the most important thing. Loving God with everything we have and then loving everybody as ourselves. So, but the rulers of this world, okay, we'll move on. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. So here's why I say it's important you're a believer. Okay. When you believe in Jesus, you receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you. When you truly say, Lord, you are Lord of my life. Not just like, hey, God, yeah, sure, I want to go to heaven, right? When you make that conscious decision that, you know, you truly believe God died for you, that your sins are forgiven because of what he did on that cross, and that he is Lord of your life, which means he's in control now, right? You should do what he wants. And it's not because he wants to just, like, you know, push you in whatever direction he wants and force you into things you don't want to do. Because you know what? He is a loving God. And he's going to make it so that you live a life that is fulfilling. When you try to live your life just under what you think about, it's not going to be fulfilling. You can entertain yourself. You can numb yourself. But once those things stop, you're going to be right back where you were. We're going to be sad, depressed, lonely. But if you live your life according to God's will, it'll be fulfilling no matter what you find yourself in. I'm not saying this to like find sympathy, but just to show you that, like, I believe this. I know it's true. Okay. I feel like I've been beat up in the last 6 months. Okay. Like my health, like I'm getting over a cold right now. I don't know if you can hear it or not. My finances. Just yesterday, I was at a funeral for my uncle. So it's like all sides beat up, right? And I don't mean just a little bit. I mean a lot. But the thing is I know that it's going to end, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, right? That I know that God's going to take all that bad stuff and he's going to work it for my good. I know that God's promises are true. I know that whatever it is, I can endure because it's not me alone, but it is God who's going to help me. And like, if you're living life without that knowledge, it's going to be a very hard life. So trust in God. Okay. Understand what he is trying to do in your life. And he will completely change the way you see everything. In a way that when you're struggling and going through hard things, you'll know that you can get through. It says, let's see. There's a scripture's meme was saying, all right. When I talk about the Holy Spirit and you receive it, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says this. It says, but you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches it is true. It is not a lie. So just as he taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. So, you know, the thing is like, if something is being told you, like, this is the truth, and you go to scripture to see if it is, there might be times, even somebody you really respect, you might disagree with them. You might think, well, that's not right. And this is a thing that a lot of Christians, like, especially with the number of denominations that we have, that we need to really learn from, is we need to be able to speak to one another about those differences. Okay. Without getting heated, without getting upset, without saying, you're a heretic, or, you know, just assuming the worst about somebody. Because, I mean, there are some people out there that they really have corrupted what God's trying to say, what God's trying to convey to us as believers. But it is more important because, like, before Jesus' longest prayer in the Bible, he prayed that we would have unity. Unity, just like he had Jesus and the Father and Father and Jesus. He wanted that same unity for us. Okay. And there are certain things you just can't like say it's not true. Like Jesus, he's always been God, right? There's things that we can't compromise on, but there are things where we need to talk and we need to be able to like come to like the truth. Now, the other thing too is like, it doesn't mean you can be alone either. Okay. Some people will look at that as like, oh, well, I don't need anybody to teach me. Well, in Ephesians 4, it says he gave teachers and pastors, right? As a gift to equip people, to build them up, to do everything God's plan for them. So it's the same where we all need to remain in community, but we all need to be responsible for what it is we know and what we believe. I don't know if you heard that, but you got to be responsible for what you know and what you believe. Okay. You can't just take my word for it, pastor's word for it, anybody else that speaks to you, anybody on the internet, right? You have to be responsible for yourself. Okay? Just like your actions. Just like your belief in Jesus, right? Okay? Just because your parents were Christians and took you to church and you're going to church doesn't mean you're a Christian too. Do you truly believe in Jesus and what he did for you? So this will be, I don't think I give this to you either, but it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and it's verses 24 to 26. And it says this, it says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not shadow boxing. So when you go to read the Bible, what kind of effort are you putting into it? Is it just for the purpose of checking off a box? Kind of like, you know, when I grew up, we went to church. When I grew up, we read the Bible. So I'm doing these things because that's what you're supposed to do, right? So there's a difference between doing things out of ritual and habit than there is doing it with purpose, okay? Because sometimes if you're just doing a ritual, you're just doing things out of habit, you might just get kind of lost in just working like a robot, right? You're not doing it because you're looking to gain something from it. You're just doing it because that's what you do. When you read scripture, what are you trying to do with that? Do you read it and actually think, okay, why did you use this word? Why did you say this? Okay, it says therefore. I should go back and see what it said just before the therefore, right? The thing is like when you are truly studying the Word of God, you should be asking yourself, okay, God, what is it you are trying to communicate to me, and how am I supposed to use that in my life? Because if you're just reading a story, you know, God's word is not going to return void, but it will be so much better if you're actually seeing what it is God wants you to see. So just like I just read to you about athletes are disciplined in their training, be disciplined in what you do. You know, when you come to church, I could show you, like, if pastor, if you see me on my phone, I'm taking notes, okay? Because, like, I can go into my phone and I could look at the day, look at the example, the title, whatever, and I'm like, I got notes. I got notes on it, right? Because I really do. Even if it's just like a sentence for the entire sermon, okay? It's something that will change the way I live my life if I live by it, okay? God didn't give us the Bible just to be like, here's something to read. It'll kill the time, right? He did it because there's power in it, right? He did it because there's knowledge and wisdom, things that we need to know. And most importantly, it lets us know God, okay? Because knowledge and wisdom, they're great. But if you don't love God first, then, I mean, it's going to be kind of useless. Loving God is the most important thing. Once you do that, everything will line up. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2 in this verse 11. And it says, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. So, I mean, do you know how many amazing things God gave you? Okay, we have eternal life. I mean, that's the big one that stands out, right? Right? But he also says that you're a royal priesthood. He says that you're his masterpiece. And that he's planned good things for you to do. He says that you know, you're his child. There's one, I think it's in Romans, where it talks about, like, we are adopted into sonship, right? We become family, right? Could you imagine the creator of the universe wants to spend time with you? The creator of the universe chose you, and he loves you, right? Yep. I mean, there's so much in God's word, so many truths, that if we just took a little bit of time to study it, to remember those things that he told us, I think that, you know, we'd be in a lot better place. So it says this, it says, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. So, Spirit, spiritual truth, right? There are some things that just don't make sense, right? Like if you have a lot of bills, it's like, maybe I should get another job, right? That'll pay the bills. All right. I'm not saying don't work, but I'm saying is like, go to God, ask him, hey, what do I do? You know what? There's so many times that I've seen him show up in a crazy way that I can't explain. And the world would think I was foolish for relying on God, because they're like, what are you relying on? Does he even exist? Right? And it's like, no, I'm going to rely on God because he does exist and his word is true. He's going to take care of me. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added onto you, right? I know that he's going to take care of me if I put him first. I also like how the Amplified says the last verse that I just read, the 15. It says, but the spiritual man, the spiritually mature Christian, judges all things, questions, examines, and applies what the Holy Spirit reveals. Yet is himself judged by no one. The unbeliever cannot judge and understand the believer's spiritual nature. But that, let me read that one part again. But the spiritual man, the spiritually mature Christian, judges all things, questions, examines, and applies what the Holy Spirit reveals. So, It's this thing was like, you know, if you truly have a desire to know God's word, you're going to ask some questions. You're going to say, okay, what do you mean by that, God? Like, I don't understand this. Okay. There's even times where I read it first time and I'm like, I don't get this. Right. And then I'll go back to it. I still don't get this, and go back to it again. What do I do with this? Right. The thing is I go back to it. If I don't understand something, I go back to it. If I don't understand something, I say, Holy Spirit, what do I need to learn from this? I ask other people about it, right? And I'll be like, okay, is what they said true? Right? And then I go back to it. If you really want to learn, you're going to have to put in effort. Okay? Just like we talked about moments ago. This athlete disciplines himself. Okay. You're going to have to put in the time and the effort, but God knows your heart. He knows you want to know, right? He's going to help you. James chapter 1, it says that anybody needs wisdom, ask for it and he'll give it to you. A lot of it, right? Abundantly. So God isn't trying to hide anything for those that belong to him. Okay. If you belong to Jesus, he's not hiding anything from you. Just ask him, but be sincere. Like, You know, we like that Jeremiah 29:11, right? That he has this plan for us and everything. But the verse after says, if you seek me, you seek me with your whole heart, right? It means that, like, you actually love God, right? So it says this, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. It's amazing to think that we've been given everything we need to live a godly life, that we've been given the mind of Christ, that we've been given so much. And we're not deserving, but you know what? God loves us. He loves us so much. And we need to put him in his right place where he is first over everything, where when we plan on doing something, we have him in mind. Is this going to glorify you? Is this going to honor you? Not because we want to get brownie points, gold stars, prizes, or anything like that, because we genuinely love them. Because that's what love is to do something and not expect anything in return. The nice thing is that God does bless us a lot, but don't expect it. Just do something because you love him. All right. He knows your heart. He knows if you're doing it because you love him. You know, we have to get away from thinking about ourselves and putting ourselves first. Because there's times where we're not even thinking about it and we just do it. The things that we do, where we put our time, where we put our money. It's the thing is, like, everything came from God. So we should freely give it if God's asking for it. It doesn't belong to us. We're just stewards, right? We're just managing it. We can make a selfish choice. It's not the choice we should make, but we can. We're allowed that. You know, when I was talking about, like, intention, like when you're here at church, Do you take notes, or are you going to go back to listen to the podcast and, like, write anything from it? You know, what helps you learn, and are you doing it when you're around, like, Bible studies, or when you're, you know, even just at home? You have to really, like, put in a lot of, like, effort to doing it correctly. Cause, like, you can just read the Bible. You can just hear a sermon. But how does it benefit you if you're not learning from it? I'll say, we have this thing in forensics. There's this big, huge poster at my work. I was walked by. It's probably, like, I don't know, 12 feet tall. Maybe even taller. It's crazy. But it's called Locard's Exchange Principle. I'm sure we all have heard of it, right? No. Yeah, I didn't hear of it until I started working there. So the short definition is this, is that when a person enters a crime scene and leaves it, they're going to leave something behind. They're going to take something with them, right? The thing is that the transfers can be either really small, they can be microscopic, or they can be hidden some way. Right. So there's some cases that I've worked personally where just like a blood drop the size of a millimeter. Just think of, like, you take, like, a pen and you just, like, doot, right on paper. Right. About that size, barely bigger, or a single fingerprint had revealed something that wasn't known before. OK. And there are things that I could have easily overlooked. Things that, like, if I wasn't taking my time to really look at the evidence and see if there was anything that was missing, or to make sure I got everything that was there, that if I didn't take that time, I would have missed it. Okay. Cause sometimes it can be hard to see things like, you know, imagine a millimeter on something that's this big, right? Okay. That took some attention to detail. Now there's this thing where, I'm not going to read all of Locard's exchange principle because besides it being 12 feet tall, it's paragraphs and paragraphs and it's crazy. But, it ends with this sentence. It says only human failure to find it, study and understand it can diminish its value. And that's talking about evidence. It says only human failure to find it, study and understand it can diminish its value. The same is true with God's word. Our failure to like find what it's saying, study and understand it will diminish its value. Okay. To us personally, because the word of God is, it's priceless. But you know, we have to understand that, like, what the Bible says is true. When there's a promise in there for us, guess what? It's true. Yeah. When there's a command, you know, don't just deceive yourselves and hear the word only, but do what it says.
Right.
That is true.
Yeah.
When we see is like we have to forgive people, you know, we have to believe that, right? We can't hold unforgiveness. Look what God our Father did. Okay, Jesus, you know, we're about a month away from Easter. Yeah. I mean, Jesus, he didn't just, you know, give his life on a cross. First of all, he lived a perfect life. He showed us how we should live, how we should make choices, how we should operate as believers. And then also, I mean, he even showed us, like, he found it hard to be on the cross. Like when he was praying, he's like, Lord, if this cup pass from me, please do it. I just do something else. Right. He actually prayed that he wanted something different. He's like, but not my will, yours. But then, you know, he was beaten. He was mocked. He was, no longer, when you looked at him, you could no longer tell he was a human. He went through so much more than just being on a cross. Before he was on that cross, so much more happened. And, you know, we have to recognize the sacrifice. We have to honor that. And the way we do that is we actually, one is, first of all, love God, show him love. How do you love God? How do you show that you love him? Is there something that tells us how we do that?
Obey,
right? The word of God. Yeah. It tells us what he's looking for. It tells us what we should do. Fruits of the Spirit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an easy one. Like if you know like certain things in the word of God, you can live in your life in a completely different way. You don't have to rely on yourself, right? Just rely on God's word. It says that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance everything that you've learned, right? So like if you need it, Holy Spirit's going to be like, hey, you already learned this one. It's this, right?
Amen.
Do this. There's another thing too, is like when you learn something in the Bible, when you learn something that could change, like help you to forgive somebody, or help you to not be an angry person, or to help you to like start using your gift in service to God. It's the revelation of those things can be invigorating, exciting, right? When I was talking about before about living a fulfilling life, that's how you do it. It's like you get close to God by knowing him, and you live whatever kind of purpose he set before you. But it's always this thing that you have the choice to do that. But like for me, more and more, I'm just keep telling myself is like, okay, do I really believe what the Bible says? Then I should live like the Bible is true, right? It sounds like it's, I don't know, super simple, like, or crazy talk, but seriously, how many times have you done something? Like if you were to remember what scripture told you to do in that moment, how many times have you done something without any regard for what God wants, right? Somebody says something mean to you, right? Somebody upsets you. Somebody, you know, does something mean to you. Somebody steals. Somebody says gossips about you, right? What is your response? Your response should be whatever God wants you to respond, right? You respond in love. You don't keep feeding into it, right? Because what does it matter what people think of you when you know what God thinks of you? Okay. But it doesn't matter what people think of you.
Right.
All right. Only what God thinks of you.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different things in the Bible that could be so helpful if we just looked for value in it. Now, let's talk about, like, what if I told you you could make an investment, right? It's like, hey, if you put up some money, I can get you like 30 to 100 times return on it. And it was guaranteed. Like, guaranteed. Would you invest in that? Okay, I guess there's a lot of people that don't want to do that. That's crazy. Just leave money on the table. They're like, no, you're trying to trick me. No, I mean, but like if you were to get a return on an investment like that, that'd be like, what? That's a crazy return. 30 to 100 times. Did you know that there's a biblical principle? Maybe it's not based. Well, it isn't about money, really. That talks about your fruitfulness, the amount of fruitfulness you will have as a servant of Christ. It's one of my favorite parables, actually. It says this, Matthew 13:23. It says, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Okay. Now, there was a bunch of people that showed up to listen to God, to Jesus at the time, always God, but he was in Jesus' mode on earth. Okay. I don't know. I mean, I do, but you know what I'm saying? Fully man, fully God, walking the earth, Jesus. Okay. This is what he was talking to his disciples about. He said this part, but before he just said the part without explaining what it was. Right. He talked about the hard soil. He talked about the thorns. He talked about the good soil. So, and then people are probably like, oh, okay, we came all the way for this? Sure. And then they left, right?
Yeah.
The difference was the disciples, they actually went to Jesus and they're like, hey, what does that mean? What is this? Yeah. Right?
Yep.
That should be us.
Yeah. Yep.
Just like I was saying before, if you don't understand something, go back to the word.
Right.
Pray about it. Okay. Ask the Holy Spirit. Hey, guide me into this. What do I need to know? Right.
Right.
You have to be like the disciples that went back. Well, what does this mean?
Right.
And if you truly love God and his word, you should be curious.
Okay. Right. Like, you just having to this desire, this want to look at his word and to gain something from it. But look at this. Who are the fruitful people? It says, those who truly hear and understand God's word. Right? Those will be the people that will produce the harvest as much as 30, 60, or even 100 times. So which people? Those who truly hear and understand God's word. And you know what? Don't think that you have to go to seminary or something, right? To understand God's word. I gave you the key before. Just believe in God. Right. You have the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Okay. If you have the Holy Spirit, he's going to reveal it to you. Why do you think he chose the apostles, his disciples? Why do you think he chose them? Because they were all like these well-schooled people?
No.
No, they weren't. Right?
Right.
Ask God, why did you choose these people? Right? Jesus, why did you choose these people?
Right.
It's important for us to know. And for that one, I was just thinking it's like to show that everybody can know whatever it is they need to know about the Word of God.
Yep.
Okay, in the book of Acts, look at what they say about them. They're like astounded at these people. It was like, but they didn't even go to school. So let's see. This was a few verses before that explanation of the parable of the sower. It's Matthew 13. It's 11 through 17. It says, he replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they will have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand." You know, I think it's in Ezekiel. There's a place where they're talking about like these people that have gathered because they're there to hear the worship. They're there to hear scripture. And it's like, they're just listening to it. Like, it's just like music and poetry. Like, oh, what nice words. And it's like, but their hearts are far from me. You need to make sure you stay close to God, that you love God.
Yeah.
Okay. This isn't just like reading the Bible shouldn't be like an academic endeavor either, right? Where it's just you're learning, if I do this, this will happen. If I do this, this will happen. But, you know, just know, it's like, how do I be more effective for God? Right? How do I show people around me more that I love them? Right? What am I supposed to do with my life? Right? It's in there. It's in the Word of God. It'll tell you. Right? And the Holy Spirit himself, he will guide you.
Yes.
Right? There is a plan for your life. Every one of you that believe.
Yep.
Okay? And it's up to you to actually make choices that show you're going to follow that plan. Okay? It can't be just like, well, this is what I want to do, God, so bless me. And then go and do what your thing is. Okay? That doesn't work that way. It's God, it's the Lord's plans that will succeed. Okay? We can make a lot of plans, but the Lord's plans are the ones that succeed. So it says, I'll just start over from right here. That's why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills a prophecy of Isaiah that says, "When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it, and they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. So just know we're blessed to know who Christ is and the revelation of all that he's planned for us. And don't take it for granted. You know, like I said earlier, like live like you believe the word of God is true.
Right.
Okay. Don't think it's just some nice guidebook you read and like, if I do this, I'm good. But if I don't, it's not too bad. Right. No, just believe the creator of the universe is the creator of the universe. He's ever present, right? He's ever present. He's all knowing. Like he's there, but he's also there for you and he loves you. And, you know, he didn't make a plan just so that you could, you know, be miserable. He made it because he knew that'd be the best one for your life. Yeah. And you'd live the most amazing life if you just chose it. So, if you would, stand with me, Ken, and, let's pray. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I just ask that, the words that we heard today, that we take them to heart. Lord, that we are people who want to just not just hear, but truly listen to you. And that we want to understand what it is you're saying to us, God. That we want to use those things in our life, that we want to be fruitful, that we want to serve you in ways we've never served you before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.